Good afternoon, all who are listening on the podcast. We welcome you this afternoon. We are now going to go into the book of Revelation chapter 12. So we'll get started, and we pray that you that are listening will be blessed by this study, and that you will gain understanding and revelation as you study today with us, and afterwards go back and review. So we are in chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And the word says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon, under her feet and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered." Pain be delivered. Now, here the Bible portrays the great controversy, the great controversy between Christ and Satan in terms of three characters: the dragon, the woman, and the man-child. Now, they are first, all three are first introduced in Eden. Amen? Where the dragon, Satan, won an initial, started initial engagement with the woman. Remember? Mm-hmm. Okay. And she was disobedient to God's command. So here we have the start of a bitter conflict, where a bitter conflict ensues between the serpent and the woman, between his seed and her seed. Okay? Ultimate victory comes through a single seed of the woman. The ultimate victory comes through the seed of the woman, who crushes the serpent's head, at the same time suffering a deadly bite to the heel. Now, I just need to get, anyone have any comments on that? Because when we look at the book of Revelation tells us who Jesus is and what he's and his coming back and so forth. But the whole thing started in Genesis.
That was the what God put on the woman.
Yes, yes. And in this chapter of Revelation, it portrays the whole seed of the drama from its origin in heaven in this chapter, to Satan's attack on Jesus through the persecution of the Dark Ages, until the final conflict at the time of the end. Now, throughout the Bible, a pure woman is a symbol of God's true church, while a harlot represents a corrupt church. You see how the symbolism is? Well, you know, harlot, we think of a woman singularly, you know, but it's the corrupt church. Can we have someone read Isaiah 1:2? And someone takes 2 Corinthians 11:2. I guess the two or three of us in here.
He'll take Isaiah. And what's the other one?
2 Corinthians 11:2.
Isaiah chapter 1.
Verse 2, yes.
Verse 2. "Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me."
No, that's it. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to tie it in.
Mm-hmm. And what was mine? I'm in
2 Corinthians 11, 2.
11, 2 says, 11, 2 says, "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
I promised you to one husband and to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him."
Okay, so who is this? Who in Hosea clearly is speaking of the corrupt church.
Mm-hmm.
here in Corinthians, it tells us that this is the pure church, the pure woman. You see, so here we have she is said, that is the church, to be clothed with the Son. Is that what we read with the woman is clothed with the Son? This is the church, the glory of the gospel of Christ, and have the moon under her feet, the reflected glory of Christ as a foreshadow in the Old Testament sanctuary services and rituals that coming every year for these sacrificing the blood for the atonement of their sins. It's a foreshadow of Christ to come. Okay? Now, the crown of 12 stars represents the 12 apostles. The woman who gives birth to the Messiah represents the true church. She represents the true church though its entire through its entire history, from Adam and the Jewish nation to the Christian church. Let me go back again. The woman who gives birth to the Messiah represents the true church throughout entire history, from Adam and the Jewish nation to the Christian church. We got that.
Can't do that.
Okay. Now, can we get Rose? Mm-hmm. Will you please read verses 3-6? Dorothy, will you close that door for us, please? Thank you.
Okay, 3-6. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. Go to 4?
Yes, 4-6.
Okay, his tail whipped a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he may devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days.
Okay. That's a lot right there.
It was.
That's a lot right there. So before, is anyone, that she read it, and I know that was a lot. So I'll just go ahead and give you some thoughts, and then you give us, anyone can give us their thoughts. Mm-hmm. Now, the great dragon identified, it's in verse 9. We haven't got there. But the great dragon identified in verse 9 as Satan. However, Satan, he routinely uses others to persecute, deceive, and destroy. Remember we said that just prior, that the woman who gives birth to the Messiah represents the true church throughout its entire history. That's the church history, from Adam and the Jewish nation to the Christian church. So now we see, okay, remember he deceived in Eden. Okay, so he's deceiving all throughout. And he uses others to persecute. He uses others to persecute, deceive, and destroy. Can we get someone to turn to Genesis 3 and read 1-13 quickly? Genesis 3, 1-13.
Yeah.
1-13.
Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, mm-hmm. that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree desirable to make one wise. So she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Mm-hmm. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then he said, then the man said, "The woman whom you gave me, whom you gave to me, to be with me, mm-hmm. she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate."
Mm-hmm. See, this right here, that 1 to 13, gives us the whole path
right
to the destruction, the persecution, and the deception. He started with Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. and he's moving on. All right. Now, the seven heads of the 10 horns and the seven crowns, seven heads of the 10 horns and the seven crowns represent the nations or governments which Satan has used to persecute God's people. We're going to get to that. So if someone can turn to Daniel 7:7. And someone turn to,
I got Daniel 7.
Okay, someone turn to Revelation 13, 1 to 5. And someone turn to Revelation 17, 3. So we're looking for Daniel 7, 7, Revelation 13, 1 to 5, and Revelation 17, 3. Daniel 7, 7, go.
"After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before. And it had 10 horns."
Okay. So Revelation 13, 1 to 5, go.
"And it says, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns,
mm-hmm.
and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and a great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, 'Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him?'"
Mm-hmm.
Go to 5.
Yes.
"The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, mm. and to exercise his authority for 42 months.
Oh, we're getting there. Mm-hmm. Who has Revelation
17:3? I'll read it.
Tied up, Dorothy.
"So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns."
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, when in verse 4 that Dorothy read, we see an attempt to destroy Jesus at his birth and can identify pagan Rome in the person of King Herod as the agent Satan is working through. Okay, that's that, now that's a little bit, we have to really connect. You can see it, how the enemy uses, and now that we, how we see, when we saw King Herod, we just, you know, at least let me speak for myself, him destroying Jewish boys, right, which would destroy, but this is Revelation telling us how it all tied in. See, King Herod was, you know, he was an agent. Anybody killing God's people was an agent of Satan. So we just know that, okay? And the pagan Rome in the person of King Herod in the Old Testament, okay? Now, somebody turn to Matthew 2:13-18, and we're going to see. 2:13-18.
Matthew 2:13-18.
Mm-hmm.
When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.
Okay.
So, keep going?
No. Okay.
Okay.
So, now, in verse 6, the dragon forces the woman to flee into the wilderness, right?
Right.
Okay, for 1,260 years.
Right.
Now, the time when papal Rome is in power persecuting God's faithful church, that is during that time. Okay? Remember, that's the Roman. And now, I don't want to jump the gun. Let me see. Okay. Persecuting God's faithful church. Now, even though he, Satan, uses others as his agent, the dragon is Satan. We need to know that. The dragon is Satan. He uses other people, but that dragon is Satan. That dragon is Satan. Now, the dragon casts a third part of the stars to heaven, to the earth. This represents the angels who joined Lucifer in his rebellion when he was cast out of heaven with him. So if somebody can turn to Revelation 12:7-9, and someone turn to Psalms 2:9, and let's go with, start with.
12:7-9.
Yes, sir.
And war broke out in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. He deceived the whole world. He deceives the whole world. And he was cast to the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. 3:11.
No, that's it. Now, so... he's going to rule all nations with a rod. Now, this is so wonderful, because now we see where he was when he was Lucifer, he was cast down because he rebelled against God. And when he was cast out, his name was called Satan, enemy of God. That's what Satan means, enemy of God. Now we see when the final cast, when he is cast into the lake. Okay, who has Psalms 2:9? I love the poetry of Psalms tying in. Psalms 2:9. Verse 9.
You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery.
Okay. So that ties into exactly what we have. Now, if we have someone to go to verses 7 to 9. But before we start there, let anybody have any thoughts on where we are so far before we start moving real quick?
What amazes me is I thought that all angels had the same strength, so I can't see how they got beat up the wind over the other ones.
They don't.
Evidently, they don't,
because
I thought they had the same strength.
No, there are certain angels that we only know of in the Bible that God gives us knowledge of, Gabriel, Michael, and one other. But there are legions of angels in heaven with different assignments. Mm-hmm. You know, you have angels assigned to you for your safety, for your protection, so forth, over your family. So all of them are not warring angels, okay? Right. There are protective angels and so forth.
Something I read in this book, I guess in the lessons, that I had prior, mm-hmm. prior to my missing, and in that lesson it was talking about, he mentioned a great angel.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we were discussing, was this like Michael or somebody like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, from what I read as interpreted, great. And the instance that John was talking about at the time was the size of the angel.
Yeah, the size of. Well, remember, every time God, an angel appeared before a human, what did they say first? Fear not.
Yeah.
Fear
these
not.
Some big boys.
You know, that's something we ain't never seen before. I used to say, I'd like to see it. No. You know, you got to be prepared for
right.
this. You got to see, God is so beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that when you even see a rainbow sometimes or things that you never noticed before in the springtime or something,
right.
you really see the greatness, just a little glimpse of the greatness of God.
Yes.
He says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard
right.
the things. We amazed at this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even wrap my mind about eternity with God in heaven. It's just too much for me.
Well, you know, the things that I picked up, I watched the Science Channel a lot.
Yeah.
And they have been discovering the different galaxies
mm-hmm.
that's beyond our own.
Yeah.
And I was telling my brother-in-law, who's a Jehovah's Witness, you guys underestimate God when you're mm-hmm. talking about mm-hmm. Trinity, and they don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are created in God's image. They tend to believe that we created in God's image is three in one, right? But they don't believe God is three in one.
Yeah.
And I said different from us. God is all powerful. He can separate his three.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we can
separate it.
We can.
I said, when they're talking about these different galaxies and
right.
whatever, I can picture God holding all of them. It's like a,
yeah,
and
like,
it's just like
it's
a, right. anything.
Is it?
Well, I mean, it's like bigger than we are over there.
Well, my imagination is when God said, "Let it be, 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 be,
yeah.
be,
be, be, be,
just kept being,
just
right.
being." You know,
yeah.
I mean, just to let be,
right?
You know, to
yeah. I when I picture it and man talk about his power, so like even the atom bomb, I can see God doing it like this.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It is not
God.
Exactly.
Yes.
Nothing.
Jesus.
Exactly.
I tell you, it's
oh my.
Woo. Hallelujah. That's,
I mean, that's my perception when I read, you know, and they keep talking about going on and on and on, and then they are concerned, you know, like, well, it could not be a God because da 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 da, whatever, and so on. And I'm saying to myself,
really?
Okay, you're saying all of these materials were put here and all of a sudden people or animals come about, right? Okay, we got junkyards and scrapyards. You can throw that stuff out there all day and a car mm-hmm. never drive out of there.
Exactly. That's right.
But what gets me is when I was looking at a History Channel and something with animals. And, oh, it was they were studying the apes.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, apes or something, anyhow. And the narrator said, "Well, the cousins of us." I'm saying, I ain't had one like that.
They've been trying that for years.
God don't worry anymore.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Right. So, whew.
God created.
All right.
He created us in his image. He is.
Amen.
He created us.
Amen.
He's looking like no ape. Right.
No. And like I said, all of this stuff we're reading now, to me, just give more evidence to what
yes.
I
yes.
Exactly.
But what's so interesting is how you see the enemy, what we're reading here is how the enemy from the beginning in Eden all the way through history of mankind, at least the history of God's church coming together, mm-hmm. how the enemy has infiltrated mm-hmm. and deceived.
Mm-hmm.
And you have pagan, mm-hmm. which is the Roman rule, which is really Catholicism,
yes.
which is supposed to be Christianity,
mm-hmm.
and out of that came the Crusaders and what? Well, okay,
yeah, we know what they did.
You know, so either they're twisted. I ain't trying to say I'm twisted. You know, you know. So let's move to verses 7 and 9. Someone, can we have someone read?
Okay. And 12?
Yeah, 7, 12, something. Yeah, okay. We're still in 12, baby.
Yeah, okay, I read it, but I'll read it again.
He did? Okay, yeah. Okay. All right, right. I wanted to give you my points on there.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, now in 12 to 9, here we're brought back in time to the very beginning of the great controversy between Christ and Satan when Lucifer, the foremost angel in heaven, fostered rebellion and was expelled. Now he fights against Christ by attacking his people, his truth, and his character. Someone turn to 1 Peter 5:8. Please. 1 Peter 5:8.
Okay.
5:8 says,
mm-hmm.
1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert, for your enemy, the devil, plows around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
Mm.
Okay, you have, say that first sentence again. What does your translation say?
It says, be self-controlled and alert.
Okay, and some translations say sober.
Yes,
sober.
But
her translation is what it is. Mm-hmm. Be alert,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
be sound, and vigilant means that you're always on guard.
Right.
You're always on guard. Yeah. That is why the only way you can always be on guard against the adversary is you got to know the word.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
See, because the word will give you the understanding when the enemy is attacking or attempts to attack you. And I would just like to say this to you. This is just my conviction. I hope somebody doesn't get offended by this. But we have always, at least in my experience in the church, always rebuking Satan. I rebuke you, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
But when you rebuke him, he's saying, so what? You rebuke him with the word of God.
Yes.
What did Jesus
Amen.
Say?
Yes.
Out of the word. So you rebuke him with the word. If nothing else, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I rebuke you, Satan.
Amen.
Right.
You rebuke him, and they say, okay, and what next?
Where's your power?
Right.
You don't have no power.
Right.
That's right.
And remember, the power of life and death is in your tongue.
Yes.
So when you declare the word of God, that is your weapon, the word.
Right.
You were. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean, that was just a freebie,
that
y'all.
Mm-hmm.
That was a freebie. Mm-hmm. Okay, who do we have now? We have
113.
Yeah, we did 113. Okay. So it said that Satan deceives the whole world. Satan has effectively substituted truth with lies on many points, including the character of God. Example. If God is love, mm-hmm. why do all these terrible things happen to good people?
Mm-hmm.
Example.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, a non-believer saying to Rose, she has just maybe lost a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, well, why? You're such a good person. Why would God bring that on you?
Right, right.
Attacking the character of God, okay? So, you know, Satan is substituted with lies on many points, including the character of God, the creation, that God is not the creator. There's a the Big Bang theory, mm-hmm. that things evolution, mm-hmm. okay? Excuse me, creation. His law, which is, excuse me, you. God, if God is love, and your son is a practicing homosexual, mm-hmm. then God loves him. Why do you say that he is abnormal or a sinner? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, God does love him, mm-hmm. but he does not love his choice.
Amen.
Of how he wants to be, right?
And so, he doesn't accept some of our lifestyle choices.
Right, absolutely. Sin is sin.
Sin is sin.
Okay, there is no little lie or big lie. Yes, sir.
I like to say this, since you mentioned the lifestyle of the homosexual, and it's trying to be accepted in the times we're living in, mm-hmm. as
normal.
No different than whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I always said that if you got all the standard equipment, you know, to be a chivalry, but you're selling yourself as a foe, something is kind of mixed up there, because, okay, let's just say you got the parts of a man, but you're operating like a woman. If that person being born says your child, if the child was a kleptomaniac, they're normal in every other sense, mm-hmm. but they're just a kleptomaniac, mm-hmm. you try to get them help.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are born sexually insane,
mm-hmm. that's normal.
You don't do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. You hope it go away. That still makes sense.
This is the attack of with Satan with God's law, mm-hmm. that it is abomination.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
So, and also he attacks the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We as the believers, spirit-filled Christians, really, including me, I'm confessing, need to get back to honoring the Sabbath.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Not just a time that we go to corporately to the house of prayer, mm-hmm. and do it, and then go home and do all these other things, mm-hmm. that you could be doing tomorrow, mm-hmm. or you put off yesterday. We really got to get back. That Sabbath day is hollow.
Yeah.
It's holy.
Yes.
I'm preaching to myself.
Amen.
I'm under conviction right now,
Amen.
Myself.
Amen.
I'm making it holy. That is a day that we come together, coming in the presence of God, hearing the word of God, fellowshipping with one
Amen.
Another, and
Amen.
Breaking bread together.
Amen.
And we have Amen. Got to. We have. This is how Satan has deceived us, because we feel like if we go to worship service,
and then that's it,
you know.
Did your obligations.
You know, and one of the things that the deception of sports has infiltrated the culture, mm-hmm. of the male, mm-hmm. species,
yes.
and especially in the Christian church,
mm-hmm.
it has become an idol,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
as well as basketball.
Right.
And one who grew up loving sports,
mm-hmm.
loving sports, I really almost detest it now, because I see the deception,
right.
of how it's drawing people,
right.
into, you know, a mesmerism of worshiping it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, what happened at the Super Bowl, and I'm not going to, the money that city made,
yes.
you know, with all that rabious living and so forth, you know,
yes.
and many of them would profess to be Christians.
But Chick-fil-A didn't open up.
No, they didn't. They did
That's
not.
Right.
They
right.
And they stands firm. They are
yes.
not opening up.
But you know, I started that what you're saying about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. keeping the Sabbath holy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nobody can wash no clothes in my house.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we don't need.
Don't turn that washing machine mm-hmm. on. You don't cut the grass. Yeah.
Amen.
You don't do nothing.
That's
the only
right.
person that can wash on Sunday is one of my African boys, and he's Seventh Day Adventist.
Mm-hmm.
So he worships on Sabbath.
Sabbath, yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you better believe on that Saturday. He ain't doing that.
He don't do it.
No.
But you know, that's how also Satan has deceived the believers, because we're caught up in a day. Okay? We're caught up in what day is the Sabbath. And they're looking at a calendar. But if you look at calendars from old, they didn't been changed. Numbers have changed. Days of the week have changed over a period of time. And so, who's to say Saturday?
Yeah.
Well, that came after the Jewish, from the, mm-hmm. the Jewish time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday is considered the first day of the week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So.
I was trying to find it, but.
Yeah,
I just
it's in Acts. It's in the book of Acts where it talks about on the first day of the mm-hmm. the week, yes. the services were convened. It's in the book of Acts.
Yes. Okay. But what I was trying to find in Genesis, when God said that He did His work in
right.
six days
and the seventh day He rested.
Right. He made it holy.
Right.
It wasn't a name.
No, it wasn't. So,
you do it 6 days, and the seventh day, you rest. It's like
you got
Jubilee
the
and all the other things.
Well, you got the numbers of the days mm-hmm. is in the law with the
yes.
of the Israelites.
Yeah,
okay, that's
did.
When the days became a number and so forth.
Right, because Jesus told them when they got on him about his disciples mm-hmm. picking grain or whatever, the
mm-hmm.
corn or whatever. He said he was the Lord of the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And I always question the corn thing. And I'll tell you why I said that. From my understanding, the American people that I know of, they were introduced to corn by the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And corn was one of the crops that was imported to back to the other side. Same thing like potatoes and something else. It was a number
of
different. I don't know what
I'll
it was. That's reason I said grain.
I'll go with wheat because wheat is universal.
Yeah. But anyway, I just said it that way because it could be corn. I mean, it's
yeah.
okay. But what I'm getting at is that would be in conflict with there was no corn on the other side of the ocean.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. But anyway.
But then we got a scripture in the Bible. The Bible told not to be. Not be deceived by Sabbath and new moon,
mm-hmm.
but keep them all holy.
There you go.
So we got to keep every day holy. So
there should be one day set aside.
But yeah. one day set aside. But that one place we can't yeah. say that the people wrong for worship up on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We can't say that the people wrong for worship up on Sabbath.
Right.
But the law kind of says keep all the day holy, and that includes every day.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But it's one day you're supposed to rest.
See
that
the
Sabbath. The word Sabbath means
rest.
Yeah.
So
to find that day.
In other words, if you work 6 days, don't care which way you do it, you rest on the
Saturday
Sabbath.
Or Sunday, but you
and they don't mean you cook on that day either. You cook on the sixth day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, you're not supposed to cook. Oh,
no, you're not.
Well, you know, I can remember back in the old day with my grandmother and them, even though they didn't know the Bible the way we know it, but the Sabbath day was holy.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't do jack diddle
right.
on Sunday when we come home from
right.
church. We could
yeah.
barely
now
even turn
did,
on a
true.
Radio,
right.
mm-hmm. you know, and they did not cook on Sunday.
No, our dinner was,
their
ready,
dinner was
Saturday.
Ready on
yes.
Saturday. Saturday, yeah. there was a day of, Sunday
well,
was a holy day,
that's mm-hmm. right.
you know, and so, but we've gotten so far from that because they never shopped on Sunday, the malls weren't open,
that's
nothing
right.
was open
that's
on
right.
Sunday, but now we're politically correct.
Okay, so here again. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but you know why?
We've been deceived.
People got greedy after money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So we see, you know, that Satan has effectively substituted truth with lies mm-hmm. on many points, including the character of God, creation, his law, mm-hmm. the Sabbath, the state of the dead, and the way of salvation. Mm-hmm. To name just a few, that some is deception. Huge numbers of people, including many Christians, have been deceived into believing and supporting these lies. Mm-hmm. The only way to keep from being deceived is to have a firm grounding in Bible truth, in biblical truth, and a solid relationship with Jesus. There is the popularity and widespread of acceptance of a doctrine that does not embrace this truth. Mm-hmm. And that can come into universalism, any of the New Ageism, all of that. They do not embrace and accept this doctrine. And many Christians, someone said just a few minutes ago, you know, I think it was Brother James, that said the outspurt of greater acceptance of homosexuality has become the norms. Mm-hmm. Things that are against God's word and, mm-hmm. and commandments and teaching have become the norms.
Yes.
In the church
mm-hmm. have become the norms. So when we talked about, in a couple verses ahead, we talked about the corrupt church. Mm-hmm. We got the seven churches are here today.
Yes.
They are here today. So if we can get someone to read verses 10 to 12. 10 to 12, Revelation 10 to 12.
Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb mm. and by the word of their testimony.
Yes.
And they did not love their lives to the death. Mm. Therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time.
Mm.
Now when the dragon saw that he had been
We're going to stop right there. 12, yeah. Okay, now, at the event of the death, resurrection, and the enthronement of Jesus constitutes the decisive battle of the great controversy. Mm-hmm. It was at the cross that Satan was defeated. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see that in somebody turn to John 12, 31 to 32, and someone Luke 10, 17 to 19. So we have John 12, 31, 32, Luke 10, 17, 19, giving us the support of the at the cross where Satan was defeated. Yes, 10, 17, 19.
But the first one was John.
John 12, 31, 32.
Okay. Which one do you want to read?
But, John 12, 31, 32. You have that?
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
Now is the judgment of this world. This is Jesus talking.
Mm-hmm.
Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?"
Okay.
So, read on.
No. well, we know who the Son of Man is, but what you were reading was supporting that Satan was defeated at the cross. Mm. And Luke 10:17-19 will further support this.
You want to read it?
Yeah, if you have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
10:17.
Yeah.
Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Mm. Behold, I will give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Book of life. So the proclamation goes forth. Now salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down.
Yes.
Satan is the accuser of the brethren. We know that. Reader, somebody turn to Zechariah 3:1 Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1.
Zechariah 3?
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebukes you, Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Okay. It is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquities from you. I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. That's to the fourth chapter.
Okay. What we just Joshua is here, I believe, a example of his clothes were dirty. He was unclean.
Mm-hmm. This was the priest, not the
right. Yeah. Right. And what we see here, tying it in with the corrupt church, is that the church is corrupt. It's filthy.
Okay.
But God in his goodness and his mercy always brings salvation to those who will follow his ways and his commands.
Amen.
Always.
He's faithful.
Always. So what we have, Satan what Satan does is he presents to God and to us, okay, every sin, every mistake, and character flaw that we have as a reason that we should not belong to him, as his rightful, that we should belong to him because we are sinners.
Right.
Look at what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what they're doing.
Amen.
You know, every sin, every character flaw, everything, they belong to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7, somebody. 1 John 1:7. See, when all this is coming to the blood.
1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen. His blood, his strength, and righteousness and sacrifice joined to the word of their testimony is powerful to overcome Satan.
Amen.
Our personal knowledge and love of Jesus binds us to Christ and his saving power. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Our advocate says to Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee."
Yes.
This is not a brand plucked out of the fire. And Zechariah 3:2 will tell you so. Somebody turn to Zechariah 3:2.
And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebukes you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?"
Yes. See? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, Jerusalem, you just fast forward, because we are the wild olive branch grafted in.
Mm-hmm.
We are not Jerusalem itself, but Jerusalem who love the Lord God.
Right.
Okay? So Satan has no authority over us. He only has authority when we give him authority.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
That's the only time he has. Just like they did they abdicated.
Mm-hmm.
They abdicated.
Yes.
Christ is faithful people, you wonderful people in here and on the podcast, love not their lives unto death. They would rather die than dishonor him. They love Jesus more than the trivial pleasures to be gleaned from a few decades of moral existence. With Jesus as their shepherd, they do not fear the devil's great wrath. And these are the remnant I'm talking about. This is the remnant of the church. They love Jesus more than they did the pleasures of life. Should we not love him more? Pleasures only satisfy for a short period of time. But the comfort and the peace of Christ lasts on and on and on. Because Christ is everlasting, so is his limited peace and love and mercy and grace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So now we have to have someone finish us up with 13 to 17.
When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time and a half out of the serpent's reach. Then from the mouth of the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman, and sweep her away with torment, but with tyrants, sorry. But the earth helped the woman by opening up its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commands and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea.
There we see clearly Satan destroying God's people, trying to. You know, all heaven rejoices over the great victory, but the dragon now vents his wrath on the remaining earthly target, the woman. Mm-hmm. Whenever Christians remain true to Christ and will not be turned or compromise their beliefs, Satan's anger is aroused, and he excites persecution against it. You all been bear witness of that, haven't you?
Amen.
That once you stick, here comes something from the cliff wing, just ready to take your breath away. How did that? Because of your love and your steadfastness to the Lord. Now, the church was forced to flee to the uninhabited wilderness for a time and times and a half time. That's the 1,260 years period of the papal dominion. So during those years, when you had the pagan ruling, the Christian church being persecuted had to go into the wilderness. They had to go like underground. Mm-hmm. Because they couldn't worship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They couldn't worship freely.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so we have the church was forced to flee to the uninhabited wilderness. Many of Christians were martyred during this time because they chose to obey the Bible instead of the decrees of popes and church councils.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
The mountains of Europe and the wilds of Africa and Asia became their refuge. That's where Christians migrated to. And the new land of America seemed divinely ordained as a stronghold for religious freedom. At the end of time, shortly before Christ returns, the dragon will inspire his agents to make war on the remnant, those who have remained true. This remnant is said to keep the commandments of God.
Mm-hmm.
They are not trying to earn their way to heaven, but they keep them because they love their Creator and Savior. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Mm. The Holy Spirit living in them brings, and living in us, brings us into harmony with God's law and with his character. As Jesus says through his prophet, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written, thy law is within my heart." And that's Psalms 48, rather. Now, Jesus gives his testimony through his prophets in the end times. The gift of prophecy will still be active in the remnant church. So there are prophets that are still active in the remnant church, although there are many denominations who do not accept that the prophecy is not active now. It was in the Old Testament; it no longer exists or operates. But God always says, "I will speak through my prophets before." So you are filled and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life and to live, you will be able to discern a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to discern a prophet. And that is what we need to strive for, because Satan is on full throttle now with deception.
Amen.
Full throttle. And so if we have someone to read Acts 2:17 and Revelation 19:10 and Revelation 22:9. Acts 2:17, Revelation 19:10 and Revelation 22:9.
Acts 2:17.
Yes, sir.
"And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Yes, yes, yes.
Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision, and your old men dream dreams.
Amen. Yes.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay.
We wanted just to support the prophecy, what God says about prophecy, and who has Revelation 19:10?
I do. Okay. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimonies of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Okay. Amen. 22:9, the spirit of prophecy.
22:9.
So we read God's going to pour out his spirit. And then the spirit of prophecy and 22:9 says what?
Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thou fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God.
Amen. Amen. There we are. That's what God says.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Comments? Any thoughts? This was a kind of heavy one today.
Well, it is, because when Pastor said a fellow minister denounced Christ to his congregation, but the people voted to keep him on as their pastor, I'm like, what can he preach to them?
Well,
I'm baffled.
I know. Where are you going from here?
Yeah, you didn't denounce Christ. You didn't say you're atheist, but then they said you're going to set up as our pastor. So what are you going to preach, atheist?
Well, I guess the preaching of his own self interpretation or whatever. So next week we will be looking into Revelation 13, next Tuesday, God willing, and we thank all who joined us today, and we pray that you have received understanding and revelation, and we pray God's blessings upon you, and that God willing, we will all be together again next week. Amen.
Amen.